Lemon Pepper Parlay is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. Must be 21 or older. That's right, another edition of the Lemon Pepper Parlay Podcast. I'm Martin Weiss, joined with the kid from Kansas City himself, wearing socks today. Potentially. I don't know. I can't see. Well, the thing's wearing shoes.
Actually, there's no socks under my Uggs. But I do have shoes on today.
You just a no-sock guy, Mark Gunnels? Is that the way it works?
No, I wear socks. It's just, I don't know, when I'm in certain environments, you know.
Oh, in podcasts, you just got to wiggle those toes, huh?
I guess so.
Is that what it is?
I guess so.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
You know, I only know one person in the world who doesn't wear socks like every single day. Shannon Sharp.
Really?
Yep.
Fun fact.
I made fun of him one day for it, and then he sent me a picture of The Rock not wearing socks, and he said, make fun of him. And I was like, nope. Will not.
One thing those guys have in common, they're in great shape.
Yeah, big gym guys. Which, yeah. Again, you would think, I mean, Spaghetti just walked in here from the gym. Two crew socks right there. I'm sure that most of the other people in the Bay Club were wearing socks. No? I imagine so.
He confirmed.
It's just an interesting conversation. It's just wild sight to see. The world's in a weird place. I'll be wearing socks tomorrow on Venice Beach. I'll also be wearing a white man can't jump outfit as me and Sal go and play 2-on-2. And I'm just praying. I'm just praying that whoever we play just makes all their shots. Like, just please get this out of the way early. You know, like, I don't need to be playing like Jason Tatum in the first quarter where he just doink, 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 doink. Because I'm convinced that the longer this game goes on, the higher my propensity to get hurt. So if we can just get somebody that comes out, we want to play to 21, we're playing twos and threes. Yo, make it, take it. You hit 7 threes, please. Let's go home.
So it's 2-on-2. Do people play 2-on-2 at Venice Beach? Like, is that a thing?
Well, that was kind of what my thought was, but Sal said he wanted to try to get the 2-on-2 look, so I guess it'd probably be difficult to get 10 people to be on camera. As you remember with the Cinderella thing, it's a little difficult sometimes.
Yeah.
People don't want to necessarily hop on the screen. But
so I'm assuming it's going to be half court. You're not going to play full court 2-on-2, right?
Listen. I'm going to play free throw line to baseline. Okay. You want to talk about half court? Can we talk about quarter court?
When's the last time you played basketball?
Oh, God. 2018, 2019.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I don't hoop anymore, man.
I thought you were in the gym like a year or so ago.
Nah, like, I'll go and like work out, but like basketball, like, you know what? The last time I shot a basketball was when we first had that office over there near the Bay Club. And that was the last time I shot. So when was that? 2019? 2020? Yeah.
Wow.
That was it.
Wow.
It's been that long. And I was out there for maybe like 15 minutes. Like, I had a jumper back in the day. Now, God only knows.
You're going to have to carry. Because I'm sure Sal's not hooping at all.
Are you hearing this, Sal?
You're going to have to carry.
You're hearing this, Sal?
It's going to be a carry job.
Sal said, you're James Harden. You're washed up. Yeah, your MVP days are behind you.
Well, yeah. One MVP, his days don't seem behind him. How about Joel Embiid last night in those Sixers?
Boy,
taking a 3-2 lead in Boston.
Boy, let me tell you something. Boston is in trouble. And they've been in trouble. I said last week, I was like, yo, my bad, Atlanta. I wasn't familiar with your game. And to be honest, it really should be my bad, Boston. Y'all aren't familiar with your own game. Because, you know what? I thought about this like 5 minutes before we started with the Celtics. Everybody's like, oh, my God, what's wrong with Boston? How could they be playing so poorly? Why is this the case? It's like, well, a few years back, what is that, 2017, 2018, Jason Tatum, fresh out Jason Tatum, barely got any tattoos. He's barely 19 years old.
Yeah.
Deuce is in the second trimester. He hadn't had a kid yet, right? Jason Tatum dunks on LeBron.
Yeah.
That team tops out right there in the whole Kyrie thing, and that team tops out Eastern Conference Finals. They needed, like, how do they get over the hump? They fire the, I don't know, fire the coach, but the coach moves on, Brad Stevens.
Well, to be fair, they went to you're going through the timeline. Never mind.
Yeah, so they move Brad Stevens up to the front office. insert Ime Udoka. From all I could tell, Ime Udoka's strategy, and I'm not talking about from watching on the court, I'm talking about from reading the interviews and reading just the profiles that came out. His strategy was like, hey, you bleep, 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 bleeps, get back and play defense.
Yeah.
Like that was the, that seemed to be like the message.
Yeah.
And they went to the finals.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They went to the finals and rookie head coach went to the finals. Ime, obviously, from Popovich and so on, all of this like coaching pedigree and all of that.
Yeah.
Well, what happens, happens. He's gone, and now there's a new head coach. And I don't know if you've seen Joe Mazzulla's press conferences.
I've seen a few.
He looks like he's reading the eulogy at a funeral.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he looks like he's talking about somebody, like, you know, he's a very great man, and I'm going to really miss him. It's like, yeah. Bro, like, you just won.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, and the idea, like, he seems to be this, like, kind of testy, standoffish kind of guy. And part of me wonders if Ime Udoka would have just told Jaylen Brown, go get the damn ball in the fourth quarter. Instead of talking about I need to, you know, move around more, be open. Like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, I get it. It's like capital J, capital T, and then lowercase J, lowercase B, right? And it seems like that fissure is happening more and more and more and more. And I'm just thinking back to like how coaches' jobs in the NBA are really more to manage talent than they are to like draw up plays.
Yeah, and then for me, we look at Ime Udoka, and I think you alluded to it as well. He looks very stoic. Like he has a certain aura about him. He demands respect, I feel like.
He gives the impression that if you said the wrong thing to him, he would whoop your ass.
Yeah, he's like he gives me like a father figure type vibe.
And it's not like a threat. You know what I'm saying? It's not like an overarching threat. It's just like a way that he kind of moves around. It's like, man, I really don't want to upset this guy.
Yeah. Like even if he doesn't say anything, you could just tell by the way he looks at you, like he's disappointed in you. And you don't want that feeling. Like I said, like a father figure.
Right.
And I don't think they really respect Joe Mazzulla. I don't. I don't see it there. And their defense fell off dramatically this year. Remember last year, they were talking about this is a historical defense for this generation of basketball.
Right, defensive player of the year. Didn't even make second team all defense this year. Marcus Smart.
Yeah. So, I mean, and the roster is not much different. And arguably, you could say they got better from a roster standpoint because you got Malcolm Brogdon, who people were saying now they got a playmaker, a point guard off the bench that can, you know, take some pressure off of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown handling the ball. So theoretically, it really makes no sense besides the coaching difference of why they have regressed.
Brogdon took some pressure off of Brown having the ball all right.
Right. But, you know, going to this series, though, I get the impression you think it's over. I don't think it's over.
I think Boston has more talent. I think Boston is the better team, the more experienced team. I do, but there's something that feels broken about them. They don't feel like they're cohesive. How is it that, like, Tatum's coming out having these terrible starts to games, and then they're just playing catch-up afterwards? James Harden's been in the NBA for 14 years. For the last 13 years, he has been a subpar playoff performer. In year 14, he's had 80 points in two games. Now, let's not talk about the other two. But, you know, like, where is this happening at? Like, this is the same. Like, it's wild to me to see how this is unfolding. And if it wasn't Doc Rivers on the other side, then I would have a different thought about it. Because, you know, just Doc Rivers is the king of blowing stuff.
Yeah. And here's the weird part about Boston. Now, since they're facing elimination, they're one of those teams where I think they play with their food a little bit too much. They're at home. It was 2-2. Everybody in the world thought they were going to win that game for the most part, I feel like, last night. Now, the fact that their back's against the wall and that if they lose game six, obviously they're going home. I do think there will be this heightened desperation there to where it can maybe negate the Joe Mazzulla factor to a certain extent. Because now it's like, okay, we have to do this because we have no other choice.
Sal asked me to pick basically between the three teams that were going into game five, mm-hmm. which two did I trust the most? And I told him Philadelphia and Denver. Like, I thought those two. I didn't expect Boston to get ran. And I also thought the Lakers were going to win. I'm not high on the Warriors to extend the series. So that was an easy one for me to avoid that. But we hadn't really seen Joel Embiid go crazy. Like, we really hadn't seen Embiid come out and put a massive imprint on the game in the way that you would imagine the MVP would. And look, bro, like, when you're sitting with your hands on your knees, and that allows somebody who to stand at their regular height and yell in your ear, and you don't do nothing about it except for nod your head, I feel like you're taking it in. You know what I'm saying? When P.J. Tucker, all 6'4 of him, came over there and yelled in Joel Embiid's ear, I feel like he was taking it in, and it was kind of like getting it, and was like, all right. Very much the opposite of like what DeAndre Ayton is doing, as people are yelling at him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, they're yelling at him, and he's like, would you guys just stop? Like, stop. Whereas Embiid is like, no, you're right. I am acting like a bleep, bleep, bleep. Let me go ahead and get this right, because Al Horford is punking me right now.
Yeah. So.
So, I'm thinking they had the series tied with all of that in play. Embiid didn't play a game. He's got the brace on his knee. He's limping around. You know, and so I'm thinking all of this is in play. Yeah, I got the A number one marquee star out of here. I'm looking at James Harden. You know, just flying him back and forth to Vegas every week just so he can hit the Fountain of Youth outside the Bellagio or whatever he's doing and come back in here and drop 40 points a game. But overwhelmingly to me, Boston plays more of a math game than anything. If they hit their threes, they win. If they don't, they lose. And that, to just giving up the ability to win or lose to math is something that I struggle with, and not because I struggled with math. Like, there's people out there, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you go 0-for-7, go shoot a layup.
Al Horford.
Bruh, I would never.
I took his over on points, too.
Oh.
It's like 9.5.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. You know how many points he had? Zero.
As many as me and you.
That's a brutal. Yeah. That's so tough.
And all his threes were open looks, too. Like, great looks. Couldn't buy one. It's just so frustrating. They're not getting anything from Derek White. Where has he been? Man. I took him on a couple of player props throughout this series. Failed every time. So, I guess I'll ask you the same question Sal did. Game 6. Who are you banking on? Is it going to be a Game 7 on Mother's Day in Boston Garden?
You know, I just feel like we're in a space right now in the league where guys are realizing, like, yo, I could go get the chip. Like, I think that's the game that we saw to Embiid in Game 5. It was the idea of, like, yo, it's right there. If we beat this team, we just got to go and beat Jimmy Butler or Jalen freaking Brunson, right? It's right there.
Yeah.
I got to think Philly comes with motivation and comes in Game 6. I think I could see Philly in 6.
So this would be Jaylen Brown's last game as a Celtic. Because he's getting traded this offseason.
Jaylen Brown for Draymond Green. Who says no?
Hopefully Boston.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, just think about it. Because Jaylen Brown's a few years younger. Right.
A few is, yeah.
What, Jaylen Brown's what, 26, 27?
Yeah, Draymond's what, like 33?
Draymond's 33. Draymond's my age.
It's more than 32. A few.
So he's, okay. But if you just think about it in a vacuum, right? Boston needs toughness. Boston needs defense. Could use an ulterior playmaker, take the ball out of JT's hands some. And Golden State needs a wing. It's things to think about.
Yeah, I think Boston can get more than that.
You think so?
Yeah.
Draymond Green.
I mean, I'm thinking big here, but
some stuff. Like,
what about a Damian Lillard package?
You think that, really?
Why not?
I just would imagine. You know what, though? I've often said I'd be a terrible NBA GM because I'm like, I don't see what you guys are doing here. You guys traded 4 first-round picks for Rudy Gobert. Hold on. You guys watch the last couple of years? But, yeah. But I do think it'll be. We're looking at what's close probably to Jaylen Brown's last game as a Celtic. I could see that being in play for sure.
Wow, what a sad ending that would be. That would be one of the what-ifs in NBA history, because they're both they're not even into, they're not even in their prime yet, talking about JB and JT. And for them to break up this early, they've made, what, 3 or 4 conference finals, went to the finals last year. It would feel like it was an incomplete project that we would just never see completed.
You know, I'm dropping his name. I'll pick it up after. But I told Chris Broussard at the time, I don't think Boston needs Kyrie. They got Terry Rozier. He's just fine. Then when he got hurt, Kyrie did. So Boston will be just fine. They got Terry Rozier. He's a starting point guard in this league. And then they let Terry Rozier walk after they took him from the front seat to the trunk. That was one of his favorite quotes. Last year I was in the front seat. This year I'm in the trunk. And now Terry Rozier is on Charlotte, wasting away in oblivion. And I think he could have played winning basketball for that team.
That reminds me of Dallas with Jalen Brunson. They were just fine. Yeah,
they were just fine.
They get Kyrie.
They were just fine.
It all revolves around Kyrie somehow.
Speaking of Kyrie, his ex-running mate, Kevin Durant. The Kevin and Devin show slowed down a little bit in Denver.
About time. It was inevitable, right? Like, they couldn't shoot.
I don't know. Couldn't keep shooting
80% forever.
It seemed like it was inevitable that these MFers wasn't going to miss.
Especially Devin Booker.
I'm so happy for him. I really am.
I know.
That's my guy.
I remember we used to have an argument about him.
I was like, Booker has been a killer, bro.
Remember I called him a coach killer?
That's the killer I got that phrase from. That's low key where I got coach killer. He kills the league. What are you talking about? That's low key because I've said Devin Booker has been a killer. And that's where I got it from. You back when Blake Griffin played for the Pistons talking about Devin Booker is a coach killer because they want to hire Igor Kostkarov or whatever. This guy is a 3-level bucket. He just don't like laying the ball up. It's all right. It's okay. He'll do it in the playoffs. Hey, look at him now playing defense too. But anyway, that's the secondary story.
Yeah.
As good as he's been.
Yeah.
You know what my thought was too this morning as I was driving in? It's like, wow, everybody was complaining that Embiid ducked Jokic, quote unquote, in Denver. So, well, we'll probably see him in the finals now. It's like probably like the chances that we see that in the NBA finals. Well, I think that this, we'll have an answer. We'll have the answer to the question. Because Denver, like, you know, if you just do the exercise we did last week, you just delete the regular season, right? Just pretend it never existed because obviously the rest of the league does. Mm-hmm. Denver's been the best team in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, as good as the Lakers have been, Denver has been the best team in the playoffs. And then you got a guy like, and I'm not meaning to disparage Lonnie Walker or anything like that. He comes off the bench. What is 14 points, 19, 14, 15 points, right? Landry Shamet had 14 points the night before.
Yeah.
Right? Michael Porter Jr. had 14 points in the first quarter. The Lakers, the Warriors, they don't have anybody who is a wild card in the starting lineup like that. They're like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you expect Murray to get a lot of shot attempts. You expect Jokic to get a lot of shot attempts. You expect Steph to get a lot of shot attempts. You expect Klay to get a lot of shot attempts. You expect, like, LeBron, Anthony Davis, right?
You don't think I would say D'Lo is. You don't think he falls under that category?
But I don't see him lighten up. Like, the 31 to me that he had felt like hey, why aren't y'all guarding him? Mm-hmm. As opposed to he's just, like, Michael. And I'm not saying that Michael Porter Jr. is, like, some, like, putting pressure on the defense. But imagine if you had that Landry Shamet spacing, like, but he was a starter and mm-hmm. he played 35 minutes a game because he's 7 feet tall. Like, that's something that you've got to, like, account for in a way that I don't think any other team has that makes them, out of the West, to me, the favorite right now.
Okay, when you put it like that, I can't really push back on that. I mean, you can't teach his size and his ability to shoot. To me, he's a top 5 shooter in the league.
Michael Porter Jr. He could go off for 25 points and a half.
Yeah, and you know I love Michael Porter.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he could go off for 25 points and a half. And beforehand, like with the Warriors and the previous team, that used to be Klay, right? Klay's the guy. You're not expecting him to do it, but if mm-hmm. he does it,
right?
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. And he don't got that no more.
Yeah.
But I just look at this Denver team. I think Phoenix is out of here. I thought, like, to me, Denver money line was the easiest bet of the night last night against the spread, even. But, Yeah, I think Phoenix is up out of here, although I would love their chances going forward in the future because mm-hmm. I think they'll, you know, make some moves.
Yeah.
But I don't see Campaign and Jock Landale advancing, playing major minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I think last night was a more accurate way of looking at this series and how it's been going so far because the two games Phoenix won, and you were at one of the games. Was that the Denver series?
No, I was at the,
no, that was the first series. That was the first. Yeah, that was the first series. My bad. But, yeah, anyway.
How about this? I'm sorry not to cut you off. Game five of the Clippers, which they would have lost without a 40-point quarter from KD and Booker.
So it fits like, my what I'm about to say anyway. It's taking extraordinary, like, all-time shooting performances from Booker and KD for them to barely beat Denver. Like, in those both those games, they won by, I think, single digits in both those games. And Booker was shooting like 80% from the field. And KD's still giving you like 30.
I can't remember. Grant, I think Grant Hill was calling the game. He thought the play-by-play announcer was lying. You know what I'm saying? He's like, you just Booker shot what? Like, nah, he's only missed four shots in the game?
Yeah, he was like 20 or 25 in one of those games. Like, that's just not sustainable.
Killer. He's a killer.
He is, but he's not going to shoot 80% every game, man. That showed last night. Like, based on his standards so far in this series, he played bad last night, but that was actually like a normal good game for a star player. He still had 28 points. He's like 8 for 19. Like, that's not just complete terrible, but based on what he's been doing, you know, he actually looked human for the first time this series. And, you know, the question is now, will Denver be able to translate that defensive effort back to Phoenix? Because every home team has won a game. Has won every single game in this series thus far. But I do think Denver may close it out in game six because I think now they got the momentum again. You know, obviously now Chris Paul, he may come back, which I think is actually a bad thing for Phoenix if that's the case. He said he's trying to push it for game six to come back. I think that's a bad thing for Phoenix.
But also part of the issue, I understand why people say that. I do think it with a team that is lacking for capable ball handlers that Chris Paul helps.
Yeah, I know that.
The pace. I get it. However, I'm also watching Kevin Durant have six live ball turnovers a game. Like he's getting ripped up. Like, you know what I'm saying? And like I need Booker to shoot 75% from the flow. He can't do everything. You know what I'm saying? Like point Book was cool for a minute, but like, I understand why people are saying like Chris Paul can't play at that pace anymore, but also I think that like, all right, you know, if he can spell you 15 minutes, that's not going to be the end of the world. If he can play 25 minutes, that's not going to be the end of the world.
Okay, keep it to 15.
It's not going to be the reason they win or lose.
Sure. Anything over 20, I'm out.
But a team like that, they need capable people coming off the bench. But also, like, we talk about the bench. Like, TJ Warren's a bucket. Landry Shamet, I don't understand is how like you end up having these guys on your bench that become these great scorers in the playoffs. It's just like in the moment. It's hard for me to fathom. Why did you put Landry Shamet in earlier? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. But you know, home, you know, role players play better at home. Like, what did Shamet do in Denver last night? Nothing, right?
Yeah.
So you think this is over in six or does it go to game seven in Denver?
I think it's six.
Okay.
I feel like at this point, if there's ever a time to care, now's the time. And then with the whole Matt Ishbia thing and the him getting the flop and the grabbing the ball, like I just feel like Denver has enough.
You see what Jokic did before the game yesterday?
Yes, and it was brilliant. Very well played.
Yeah.
And you know the best part about it is the owner didn't even realize it. Until after Jokic walked away.
Yeah.
He didn't even realize what he did. You know what I'm saying? Because like he realized he saw the ball in his hands and he kind of had a moment of, oh, whoops.
That was a real player of Jokic.
That was very slick. I liked it a lot. Also, like, we've been in gyms, like, especially like Summer League is my first thought, where like Summer League, you legitimately have a shot for the ball to come near you. Mm-hmm. Why? Because these guys don't play with each other. Like, very much like when Draymond just passed it to Phil Handy sitting on the Lakers bench because Gary Payton was supposed to be there.
Yeah.
Well, he would have been there if he hadn't ran off into the bathroom, right? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So, but in Summer League, you know, they're figuring it out.
Yeah.
How many, you see the ball going to the stands in summer league.
Yeah, and the gym's real compact. It's like a high school environment.
If the ball, it has been one of my like fears of the ball coming to me. I don't want the ball to come my way. I don't want to touch it because then immediately I'm exposed as a non-basketball player, right? You know what I'm saying? Like as soon as, it's like if you're at a football practice, football comes and someone's like, hey, throw it over here.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you throw it and then it's like, oh, well, you could tell he's never
played.
Oh, all right, ball boy, thanks. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, nah, I don't want the ball. And the time I did get the ball, I immediately was like, huh, pass it right back on the court. I didn't even look who I was throwing it to. I just threw it out there. Because it ain't mine.
So we won't see Martin Wise courtside at Crypto.com Arena.
I am courtside, you ain't going to see me with the ball in my hand.
It might come to you if you're courtside.
And I'm handing that thing off like Peyton Manning with the Broncos. All right? I'm handing it. I'm like this. I'm over there like the people with the shirts and ties bringing you your food. All right, I got it on a tray. Please take this thing from me. I do not want it.
You're not giving a chest pass to LeBron?
Nah, man. I wouldn't even want to do it. First, definitely bouncing it. Definitely bouncing it. 100%.
Bouncing it.
Oh, 100%.
Bouncing it is crazy.
Could you? No, because what happens? If you throw the ball and LeBron's not looking, all of a sudden you hit LeBron in the back of the head.
Oh, man. You're a public enemy number one in L.A.
Come on, man.
You're going viral.
That's what I'm saying. You're on Undisputed. You're on.
And you work on Undisputed. You're going to cut your own tape.
The unmitigated gall to throw the ball back at LeBron James, the king of Akron.
Honestly, if that happened, they'll probably have to bring you on as the guest in the studio.
Oh, man.
If that really happened.
You know what I tell them? No problem, bud.
Yeah. I think we're due for a break, huh?
Yeah, let's take a quick break, and then we'll get into the games tonight. Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesar's Palace. All of this can be yours when you bet with Caesar Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns reward credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using code OMAHAFULL, and then place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great, you keep those winnings. But if you lose, you get the stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and up only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 wager only. Must register with the eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Bet maximum bonus bet $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to the account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. No one is stopped before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, and Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, if you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369. Now, speaking of TV, this is, I feel like maybe we're looking at this the wrong way because, you know, I never really thought that media would be an entryway into, like, growing up, I wanted to make the league, right? Mm-hmm. Then I realized about 15, D. Augustine comes through, serves me up about 45 with a broken right hand, and I'm like, you know what? League's not for me. Greg Monroe comes in. He's 6'8 at 13 years old.
Yeah.
He's dunking on people, throwing my shot to the third row. Basketball's fun. League may not be for me.
Right.
However, what I'm coming to find out, you do a little broadcasting career, have a good run, you just might be walking into a new head coaching job. J.J. Redick and Jason Kidd before him. Like, how is it, if I was an assistant coach in the NBA, I would be so mad.
Oh, don't forget Jeff Saturday, NFL.
Yeah, but that. Don't get me started.
Yeah, let's not. It's a basketball show.
that was almost as egregious as Mahomes in Tennessee, the AFC championship game. Crime against football. Anyway. Like, I just don't know how J.J. Redick, like, why? Why?
Well, you know, typically head coaches in the NFL, see, you got me thinking about the NFL, head coaches in the NBA that are former players, they were never stars. You know, you got your few exceptions. Like, Jason Kidd was a star. But most of the guys...
he was a star, but he also played so long that he got into the role player level. Too.
Yeah, I mean, he was a star in college, and, you know, he had the hype and stuff like that, but he carved out his role throughout the years, and he turned into this savvy veteran. Well, he's around, 15 years or so, roughly? And, you know, he always came off as a smart, high IQ basketball player, never the most athletic guy, known for jump shooting, obviously, from the outside, but always played smart. You know, he was never a negative. You know, obviously he had limitations defensively, but he was always in the right position, taking charges. You know, a locker room guy. You know, the cliches. He kind of fit all of that, the narratives, right? And now you see him on TV for a couple years at ESPN. He articulates himself very well, the game. You could tell he's very knowledgeable, of course. He always has, whether you agree with him or not, you can always see, like, I can see where he's coming from with that angle. Whether you agree or not. So, and the guy went to Duke. So you got to be a little smart, right? If you go to Duke University, right?
Listen, man. So I went to the University of Michigan. I tell a whole lot of dummies that graduated from there. And they would say the same thing. But anyway.
So he interviewed, where he's interviewing for the Toronto Raptors head coaching job. Will he get hired? It's probably unlikely. I think this is probably the start of it, though. I think you'll see a cycle of him getting interviewed for other head coaching jobs here in the near future. I doubt he gets hired right now. Considering, I'm not, maybe like they get Bud, because Bud just got fired from Milwaukee. That could be a potential hire for Toronto.
I'm not hiring no coach that's going to talk timeouts.
So you're out on Bud.
Well, what else are you here to do?
Yeah.
You adjust rotations and you call timeouts. What else are you here to do?
Let's not get too deep on Bud, because we actually got a topic with him and Giannis to talk about here in a second, too. But
like Steve Kerr last night, Steph Curry sitting on his.
Yeah.
With 3 seconds left in the ball, you have a timeout.
You know what's crazy? I assume they didn't have a timeout because I'm like, why wouldn't they call a timeout in that situation?
Nah, I was watching the game with Trevor. I told him, I was like, he blew it. Why didn't he call a timeout? Like, why didn't he call a timeout?
And maybe Steph was gunshot because when remember the Kings series.
Exactly. Because they blew that. They blew. He blew the timeout because they blew that challenge and it was a late game and they didn't call a timeout. If I'm Steve Kerr, I am running to half court.
Yeah.
To call timeout. Like, why not?
Yeah.
Anyway.
But, so, I mean, to your point, though, about, you know, carving out this career in media and potentially getting these opportunities, I wonder, do you think it's a good thing? I kind of like it. You know, I mean, I know what you're going to say, probably. You know, he's never been a head coach or assistant coach anywhere. I'm not sure if he did high school or AAU back in, I don't know. I have no idea. But I know he hasn't coached on a high level at anywhere, college or NBA. But I think it's fine because we know he knows the game of basketball. And he talks about it very well. Like I said, during his playing career, he came off as a high IQ player. So I don't mind it. Why not give him an interview and see how it goes? Like I said, I probably wouldn't hire him right now, but let him go through a couple cycles. And I wouldn't mind being that team, taking a chance on him, especially if I'm in a rebuilding team. I'm not trying to win right now anyway. I got a lot of draft capital. I got some young guys that I think maybe they would respect him. Because, you know, if you grew up around this era, you know J.J. Redick. Like, you know how big of a deal he was at Duke University. So I don't mind it.
This entire concept is making my stomach turn.
Honestly, you hate it.
It's just like there are people who, like, I look at assistant coach Dave Yorger or whatever his name is, the guy from Memphis, is sitting right there on Doc Rivers' bench. Like, you look at his all these fired head coaches. And I'm not saying that they should be the guys that go get the just because they got fired once. But, like, give me a guy like Mike Brown who's been coaching basketball for 30 some years and maybe it didn't work out when he was coaching LeBron. You know what I'm saying? But maybe if you just gave him not a Hall of Fame, number one star, like, you know what I'm saying, first name star, like, he's the biggest star in the building, right? And you just give him a team to actually lead and see how it goes. And you saw what happened. Like, the idea, like, there's so much talent in this league. Like, you're telling me the Rockets can't win more than 20 games? And no, it's because of what's going on in the front office and the coach. Like, the talent's there. Everybody's talented in this league, and everybody runs the same stuff. Like, why is Golden State going with 11 road wins? Something is institutionally wrong. You know what I'm saying? Because you should just luck in to 20.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you feel me? Like, you should just, you know, like, so it's, I just don't like the idea of what you were talking about. You're a team, young team, trying to build assets. And now, like, that just makes me sick, bro. Like, try to win. Go try to win. Like, I don't understand. I mean,
but that's not realistic for every team in the NBA.
Right, but dude, why would...
Like, the Magic aren't going to win next year.
But I would not... Okay. If I had the slowest car at NASCAR, I'm not going to hire a blind driver. You know what I'm saying? It's like, maybe, things can happen. Like the Lakers with Darvin Ham. I know he's a first-year head coach, but he spent several years on Bud's bench, right? He was talking about these guys got championship, at least viewed them with his own eyes. He's been sprayed with the champagne, not in the jersey. You know what I'm saying? He's won his own title as an assistant, obviously. But you get there, the Lakers are horrible. 2-10 to start the season. Russell Westbrook disaster, all this and that. They make the trades. They don't trade the coach. He's still there. They make those trades, and now you see guys like Austin Reeves, Lonnie Walker IV. They have been there. You know, they've been on the team the whole time. So it's like to your Orlando example. They're not about to win nothing right now, but who knows if there's, you know, I don't know. Kevin Durant wants out. He wants to play with Jalen Suggs and Franz Wagner. Yeah, you know, I know it's not real, but it's just, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you would want to have the guy in place to be able to handle that. Like, if the goal is to win, and if the goal is not to win, then what are
we? So you're saying you would only hire a former head coach then, because even if you get an assistant, it's a major difference from being an assistant and a head coach, because you're not handling all the egos.
It's a major difference between being an assistant and a head coach. But it's a much bigger difference between being a broadcaster and a head coach.
Of course, but let's not act like JJ wasn't in the locker room.
I get it.
But he was still around to understand how the dynamics go of an NBA locker room. It's not like he was just a broadcaster and never been in the NBA at all. But I get it. He wasn't a coach. I get it.
It's one thing entirely to understand it. Another thing to manipulate and be in charge of.
Of course, 100%.
You know, that's kind of like, I understand football. I can't coach it. You know what I'm saying? I understand how to bake salmon. You know what I'm saying? If I want to make dinner, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to be able to coach you through it and pick you up when your head is down and be like, when it comes out wrong for the third time, and to be able to pick your head up, I'll be like, what's wrong with you? Just get it right. It only took me twice.
So, I mean.
And especially where coaching is, like, if coaching is more managing egos than it is about X's and O's and figuring things out in that manner. I don't know. I get that it's argument TV, but I've only really seen J.J. Redick argue over the last 2 years.
I guess the problem for me is, who are you hiring? It seems like there's not that many lucrative candidates out there. Right now.
That's not my job.
Unless you're just looking at getting an assistant coach from a successful team somewhere.
But that wasn't my job. Like, it wasn't like it's not your, like, it's not the, when the, if the Celtics needed to move on from Brad Stevens, that's something that exists in its own. Then who we hire next is something else that exists in its own. I understand that, like, oh, who's out there? No, you identify who's out there that you think could lead your organization.
Well, they believe JJ is one of the possibilities.
That's madness to me. That's madness to me. I don't know how you can, you know, in good faith, like say that
they love his first take segments. They watch it. It's in this. They watch it every day in the Raptors facility, man.
Oh man, you know, look at the way he battles Stephen A. Smith. Did you hear him when Perk said that they were racist for voting for Jokic? Did you hear how passionately?
Imagine what this does for Stephen A.'s legacy. That is crazy. This dude getting guys hired in the NBA as a head coach potentially.
It's Eddie House over there looking like Skipper Shannon and never got me hired doing nothing.
Hey, for me, for guys like me and you, you never know, man. It's a possibility, even though we didn't play in the NBA. So,
did you see Patrick Mahomes elected to the NBA All-First rookie team?
Patrick Mahomes.
Did you see the – so that's a deep cut.
Okay, I think I missed this.
So last year, the F1 race in Miami.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen this before? This Martin Brindle. It's madness. This guy is walking around in like – essentially like the Kentucky Derby infield, right? But it's at an F1 race.
Okay.
So it's just all these people that are just there, the celebrities and everybody, right? He walks up to Paolo Banchero, and he's like, Patrick.
Oh, okay. You're talking about that. I did see that. I saw that.
So this year, they had the same event again. This year, they had to come up.
There you go. Okay.
So he was like, congratulations, Paolo, rookie of the year.
Yeah, I saw that. I remember that.
So yeah, Paolo Banchero, Walker Kessler, Jalen Williams, the good one, Oklahoma City, Benedict Mathurin, and Keegan Murray. And my take is, after looking at this, first of all, I'm glad that they voted. Like, I'm glad that Paolo didn't slip anywhere. If you have a good first 60 games and you play 70, that's you need to be there as a rookie.
Yeah.
Walker Kessler's better. Like, would you trade Walker Kessler for Rudy Gobert right now?
Yes. In a heartbeat.
You would?
In a heartbeat.
You would trade for Rudy Gobert.
I meant the other way around. Like, I want Walker Kessler.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. That's what I thought. It's like,
damn. Yeah.
Damn. That's bad.
Yeah.
That's so bad.
Yeah. What stands out to me, I mean, obviously, you know, Paolo, Keegan, the main names there, but I love what OKC's building right now. I really do. You know, they got all these draft picks. I know you're not the highest on Chet, but like I said before, even if Chet, his floor, if he just reaches his floor, which I think is still like a...
On the floor first.
Yeah, right.
This is what happens with your unicorns.
But to me, his floor is still like he's a 14-8 in 2 or 3 blocks guy. That, to me, is still a win for OKC. If that's just his floor. So, I mean, obviously, SGA, you got the Williams brothers, they're not really brothers, but you know, our Jalen brothers, excuse me, in OKC. You got obviously Lou Dort there. I love Giddy. I'm telling you, man, OKC, Baby Thunder, they're back again.
Bro, you don't got to tell me nothing. I have somewhere out there, Oklahoma City Western Conference ticket that's just waiting not to cash. Remember, I was like, I bought them in after I thought they were going to get in.
Oh, you did do that. I forgot about that.
I thought they were going to get in. And, you know, silly me, I was like, this Western Conference is wide open. And now you're looking, we're looking at the 6th and the 7th seed playing each other in a second round. So maybe, just maybe I was onto something. I just should have picked the Stars instead of these plucky upstarts.
Well, get on them next year when Chet comes back, your boy.
No. pretend you're a reporter in New York. Julius Randle says, maybe they want it more than us. What's your next question? Because mine is, why?
100%.
It's like, why don't you, like, why is that the case, Julius?
Yeah. I need you to go more in depth on that. Yeah, I need you to go more in depth on why that is.
Because they're getting punked. I said this yesterday on Extra Points. It's like, when your identity is being a bully, and then you get bullied, you have no other curveball.
Yeah.
Like you have nowhere to go from there.
Yeah, there's no counter.
Yeah, there's no check down route. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you got. And that's really all they had.
Yeah, this series is cooked. I mean, the only game they won, Jimmy Butler didn't even play in. I think it's over tonight, Game 5 in New York. The Heat, man. Another example, I guess the regular season doesn't matter, huh? 8 seed? Going to the conference finals?
You can't ask me to watch basketball before the trade deadline anymore.
You know what would be funny? if we end up with a Heat Lakers finals. So then the bubble people can say, I thought you said the bubble doesn't matter. And then three later, I know context matters. I'm being facetious here. But imagine we get Heat Lakers, and then that could help the argument of the bubble was a real thing because now we got it again. And it's still like, you still got a lot of the main characters from both teams.
No, you don't.
I mean, you still got Jimmy on the Heat. You still got Bam there.
The Heat are essentially the same.
The Lakers still got their main two guys.
But LeBron that's and it, AD. Though.
Yeah.
The starting shooting guard plays for Denver.
That is right. Yeah, it's only
you know, who else was on that team now that I'm thinking about it? Was it? Oh, wow. Dwight Howard is in China. Dwight Howard got significant minutes on that team.
Danny Green.
Remember, he played for the Cavs this postseason first of like 10 seconds.
I almost forgot he was
seconds.
On the Cavs. When I saw him play one game, I was like, oh, crap, he's on Cleveland?
He forgot. He was at NBJ last year. Yeah. He's trying to be a journalist. He forgot.
Yeah. Yeah. No. But, you know, I just saw people on Twitter talking
that's
about what, that.
That's one of those
funny.
Internet discussions.
Yeah.
I never discounted the bubble. Yeah. I thought it was legit.
Yeah.
Maybe just because, like, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on outside, you know.
People were just saying because the shooting splits from guys were at an all-time high. Like, you had guys like Jamal Murray playing out of body. Who else was going crazy? Like, Donovan Mitchell, I think, went crazy. Yeah. T.J. Warren was going crazy in the bubble.
All right, I'll give you T.J. Warren. But, like, Donovan Mitchell also had a 70-point game this year.
Yeah. That's
multiple 40-point
yeah.
games. Like, Jamal Murray had a 40-point game this year. Like,
yeah.
Dudes are good.
Yeah.
They're really good at basketball.
Who else is good before we get into the games tonight? Giannis. He made an interesting post. You see that tweet? Talking about I'm coming. And then he was talking about I'm tired of the disrespect. I'm paraphrasing here. And then he was saying he's forever grateful for your guy, Mike Bud Budenholzer. I mean, what's the fallout here in Milwaukee? What's the state of the Bucks right now?
I don't know. Do you just run it back? Because you got to pay the repeater tax now. It really depends who they hire as a coach. Because.
Gosh, imagine if they could have got Ime before he went to Houston.
It was just as good as Giannis is. I feel like they don't use him enough. Like.
What do you mean? I feel like his usage is really high.
But like I would have Giannis. Like,
are you saying they're not using him the right way?
Yeah, why is Giannis should almost play, in my opinion, almost like the way, like he should be a much better passer than he is now. I get like ball dominant Giannis is good, mm-hmm. but like I would almost like to see him playing in the way that LeBron is playing right now.
I had a feeling you were going to say
with
that.
With the caveat that he's 10 times more athletic, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? So he's just going to get 5 buckets just running down the court. As somebody who's looking
and
for
and the Bucks
him.
Have other guys that can handle the ball. Like Drew Holiday can handle the ball.
They have other guys. I'd
Chris Middleton can handle
the ball.
Grayson Allen off the bench can handle the ball.
I would rather the first two handle the ball than Giannis. Grayson Allen, now we're getting into middling returns.
Yeah.
But I would rather have, like, it's hard for me to have a scenario in which your primarily ball handler is also not the guy you trust to take the last shot.
That is a weird dynamic.
It's. I don't know if it works. Like, fundamentally, I don't think it works.
Yeah. I mean, and here's the tricky thing about it is they did win a championship. But it's kind of like, to the point of Bud, right? That championship bought him a couple more years. Because people forget, he was on the hot seat before that championship.
Already heated up. People want, I saw a few joking tweets, just like, yo, still fire Bud, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like, still fire Bud.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I feel like Milwaukee has to just, I don't see a move they make to get remarkably better outside of not, like, all they had to do, and I almost know it was a 5-game gentleman's sweep, and the game that they did won. They've set an NBA playoff record for 3-pointers made, right? Mm-hmm. So variance all the way. Mm-hmm. But if they just guarded Jimmy Butler, they wouldn't have been in this scenario. They'd still be hooping right now.
Yeah, I don't understand why they didn't double
if
him.
They didn't just, like, and that's the thing that get, like, what are you doing
especially
as a coach?
With Tyler Hero out.
What are you doing as a coach? If you're sitting there and it's like, oh, that's just our defensive strategy. Your defensive strategy is getting killed, slaughtered, shredded. That's why I applaud Steve Kerr at least, because Steve Kerr will sit up there and at least throw things at the wall and see if they stick.
Switch his lineups.
Because he has, but he'll switch lineups, right? But only so much. He ain't ever going to put Steph Curry on the bench.
Well, yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? He ain't like, but that's it. Like, everything else is in play. You are in play to come out of here. Jordan Poole, you can go from 30 minutes to 10 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
Some coaches, like, if Mike Budenholzer was the coach of the Warriors, Jordan Poole still be playing 25, 30 minutes a game.
Yeah.
Because, oh, you know, that's what he did all year.
He's a I love my guys type of guy.
Hey, I love them too. I just want them all to, I want to put them all in the best place to succeed.
What about this? I mean, I know I threw it out for another team, but everybody's available except Giannis. Go get Dame.
I like that. Because I like, again, now I got a primary ball handler who can go and imagine the screen and rolls. Either side of the screen and roll.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to take the ball out of Giannis's hands.
Right.
But I need a point guard who's knocked down.
Yeah.
Giannis in spacing, he's not LeBron. Like, he doesn't have the ability to shoot. And I know it sounds funny, as poor as LeBron has been shooting, but you still got to guard him. With Giannis, you're doing him with the Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, people aren't sagging off in the paint guarding LeBron.
Absolutely not. Speaking of LeBron, let's take a break and get into our lemon pepper parlays for today. All right, Mark. You know, we brought this up on the podcast yesterday. Miami to win the East is a juicy number. I got it at 5.5 to start the week. 5.5 to 1 is sitting like 380. If you're interested in biting,
okay.
Because I do believe that Philly gets past Boston, and if Philly gets past Boston, all bets literally are not off. But you know, you would think, who knows? It's a toss up at that point.
And Jimmy, he'll be extra motivated going against Philly the way they did him.
Please. Please. So for my lemon pepper parlay tonight, I'm going to take, you know, I know that we are seeing some heavy favorites right now. The Lakers are a 7.5-point underdog. I don't care. You know, I could be wrong. And I've been terrible all playoffs.
Lakers money line?
I've been on this series pretty much from day one. I had Lakers in 6. I'm taking the Lakers tonight.
Lakers in 5?
Taking the Lakers tonight.
Wow.
And I'm taking the LeBron James double-double. They look up and they see what's happening in this Denver Phoenix series. They say, we need to get some rest. Wow. It's going to be altitude. Now, here's the caveat. Steph Curry might have one of those get on the bus type games where he just, but the only thing was, only person got on the bus that game was Kevon Looney. As much as I talk about Steve Kerr tinkering his lineups,
yeah,
they have to do step, and that's it. Time out if he's tired.
It's going to be a lot of Steph on ball tonight, a lot of pick and rolls.
So I see that. I see, but like when I see that though out of the Warriors, I see things that happen like Draymond Green throwing the ball to Anthony Davis in the corner. Maybe because he hasn't had a touch in like 4 minutes. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Klay Thompson coming shooting back-to-back threes with terrible shots.
Yeah.
Because there's not flow. They're not doing what they normally do. I would suggest also to spam Steph pick and roll 100% because he's the best shot you got. I just don't know if you can do a back-to-back series. Backs against the wall, back-to-back series. If he does, I'll tip my cap. If not, I'll go with LeBron.
Okay. So for my lemon pepper parlay, to piggyback off that, I'm actually taking Steph over on points at 30.5.
I see it.
And I'm pairing that with Miami Heat +3.5.
I see it a lot. I thought about doing Heat money line, Lakers money line.
Yeah.
As my lemon pepper parlay, but I just, I don't know. I'll just play for fun. But I like, I love that.
Yeah, I just think Steph is going to go out for blood tonight. Backs against the wall at home. I think he's going to put on the show for the home crowd. And I actually think the Heat are going to win, but I'm just playing a little safe by taking the points at 3.5.
I think we see both underdogs win today.
I would be shocked if the Lakers won. And you know I'm a Laker guy. I just can't see it.
I say this. If I'm the Lakers, if they are clearly the better team, to by my doubt. And I'm looking at D'Angelo Russell, who by your claim and by pretty much eye test, he looks like he's going to have to be the third best player on that team, mm-hmm. right? He's plastered on the bench in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And they come and they 7-point lead going into the fourth quarter, and LeBron just erases it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Anthony Davis comes out tonight and has a big game. The opportunity is there for them to handle it easily, get more rest, get some more time for that foot, because you're going to be playing at elevation more than likely. I think all of that is playing into their heads while they're sitting here and they see. Also, too, they don't want to give up no 3-1.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Once you start to lose and then start to get creep in, it's like, oh, LeBron, this is Steph. Can Steph do it? You know, poetic.
I like how you're on the island, though, because it seems like the consensus believes Warriors are going to win tonight. The game is game 6, most people in mind. Can the Warriors steal game 6 in L.A. to force a game 7?
And that's what, see, I wouldn't even play that. If I'm the Lakers, I'm not even playing that game. I'm not even worried about that game. Because I'm about to pack y'all suckers up right now.
Well, I hope you're right.
Did you see, before we leave, so you saw when Schroeder ran the pick and roll with AD and threw the ball out of bounds?
Oh, he tried to do that little behind the back thing? Yeah, I was so sick. Yeah.
So he threw the ball to Rich Paul.
I didn't know.
So Rich Paul caught it.
Yeah.
At the time, Draymond yells to Rich Paul, get this off the court, right? You know, he's trash, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Go back and watch the pass that Draymond threw on the hammer action to the corner when AD stole it. Mm-hmm. LeBron's out there just pointing, hey, you go here, you go there.
Oh, and Schroeder started and Schroeder like
Schroeder turns looking, back and looks at him like.
I did see that.
Ha, ha.
I did see that.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I loved it.
Lakers in 5, Martin says.
Oh, my God. How did we get here? How did we get here to where I'm picking the Lakers?
You went from the Lakers aren't going to be a play-in team.
They shouldn't have been.
To now they're going to the conference finals. Wow. What a shift.
You think Lonnie Walker the 5th will come out tonight?
See you guys next week.